Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You heard in the Old Testament lesson today from Genesis chapter 3 about some events that took place in the Garden of Eden when the devil, in the form of a serpent, tempted our first parents, Adam and Eve. You probably know that there is increasing pressure, both from atheists and also from nominal Christians, for Bible-believing Christians to finally admit that these are old stories, old myths, old legends, and things that never really happened. That God didn't create the universe in 6 days, as that Genesis story goes. That there was no literal Garden of Eden. And that Adam and Eve weren't even real people, created by God out of the dust and out of Adam's rib. They would have you believe that Christianity and really all the religions of the world, if they continue to exist at all, should simply focus on working together to make the world a nicer place, to teach people to live good moral lives, although certainly not according to the morality passed on in the Bible itself, without pretending to have any basis in history or in reality. In other words, keep your God if you want, but stop pretending that the Bible is true or that God is who He says He is in the Bible. I hope you can see that for the demonic lie that it is. Already in the Garden of Eden, in the Bible story, the devil was there lying to our mother Eve about who God is and what He has said. And already in the Garden of Eden, he was successful in deceiving the woman and in turning the heart of her husband to his wife instead of to the Word of God. Now, the rest of human history has played out just as it began in the Garden of Eden, with the devil working to convince mankind that God is the liar, and with man trying desperately to become his own God. You see how well that's worked out for us, don't you, as you read the news, as you see what happens in your own life. The more mankind denies the truth of God's word, the harder man works to become his own God, the more violent and destructive the world around us becomes. Where sin is allowed to flourish, death reigns, because the wages of sin is death. But of course, that's another lie the devil would have you believe, that death isn't the result of sin. That it isn't God's punishment for anything. That death is part of nature's evolutionary wonder. That death is natural and naturally irrevocable. So we have before us two opposing stories that simply cannot both be true at the same time. Two stories that can never be reconciled. The story of evolution on the one hand and the story of creation on the other. The story of the primordial soup and the story of Eden. The story told by sinful men and the story told by the Bible. If Genesis is a lie, then so is the gospel of Jesus. But Genesis isn't a lie. It's the actual truth about what actually happened about 6,000 years ago in the sinless perfection of Eden, where there was food in abundance provided by God for those first two human beings. and where the devil tempted the first man and the first woman to take and eat the one piece of fruit that was forbidden to them, so that they could be like God. They disbelieved God's word, they fell into sin, and they brought sin and death upon our race, as we sang in that Luther hymn a moment ago. Then about 2,000 years ago, in real time, in real history, the Word, the eternal Son of God, took on human flesh and became a man, a son of Adam, descended from Adam and Eve according to the flesh. He stepped forward to confront the same devil who was there in the Garden of Eden with his lies and to win back paradise for all his human brothers and sisters. Led out into the wilderness by the Spirit of God, as it says in Matthew's Gospel, the wilderness where there was no food and no drink at all for the Son of Man, Jesus was tempted, not just to take and eat, but to make and eat, turn these stones into bread, satisfy your hunger. You have the power, the devil tried to convince Jesus, to get what you want, to have what you want, what you crave, what you deserve. Do it. The temptation sounds familiar, doesn't it? If you can have what you desire, what you dream of, have it. Take it. You deserve it. Of course, what the tempter doesn't want you to ask in the process is, what does God say about it? He wants you to be your own God, to think of yourself first. But even the Son of God, standing in our place as the Son of Adam, refused to think of himself first. First was his Father's word and will, even above a desperate need like eating food after 40 days and 40 nights of not eating or drinking anything. It is written, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. If and when God says, I can have what I so desperately want, then I'll have it. If he forbids it, then I would rather suffer all things, even death, than to disobey one word that proceeds from his mouth. That's what perfection looks like. Then that second temptation took place, where the devil took Jesus up to the top of the temple in Jerusalem and said, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. I've always thought that this temptation doesn't really sound that tempting, does it? Or does it? The devil tempts Jesus to do something he has no business doing, jumping down from a building, by quoting a Bible passage, Psalm 91, which we also recited today in the gradual, to convince Jesus that it will be okay. Isn't that what the devil says about every sin? Don't worry about it. It'll be okay. You'll see. God won't mind in the end. God certainly won't judge you for it. After all, isn't it written, do not judge? And God is love? This is where a little bit of knowledge can be a very dangerous thing. Knowing one verse, one phrase of the Bible can be very dangerous if you don't know the context of that phrase, and of the rest of the Bible. Jesus did know it, and of course replied, "It is written again, 'You shall not tempt the Lord your God.'" Piecing together both passages of Scripture so as not to deny either. But he couldn't take the devil's promise that God will take care of you, will send his angels to keep you from falling, when it would contradict other passages of the Scripture to do so. That's again what perfection looks like. Knowing and honoring the Scriptures well enough to recognize the devil's misuse of them, the devil's lie. And trusting in God enough, based on His Word alone, not to go looking for visible proofs of His faithfulness or of His love beyond what He Himself has already given. In the third temptation recorded in our Gospel, the devil offers Jesus not just one thing, but all things, all the money, all the power, all the influence, all the wealth, all the happiness in the world, a good life here on earth, if you will fall down and worship me. Seems like a small price to pay. One act of reverence toward the devil, and everything will turn out well for you on this earth. No more suffering, no pain, no cross. Now, of course, the devil doesn't make it so obvious to us. I imagine you've never really been tempted to become a Satanist or even to whisper a word of praise directly to the devil in private. No, it's much more subtle for us. One little act of disobedience toward God, and everything will be better. You'll finally be happy. You'll finally have everything you've wanted. And happiness is set before us as the greatest idol of them all. It's another lie, of course. Did Adam and Eve get all they ever wanted by eating that piece of fruit at the devil's bidding? On the contrary, they had everything already, but the devil convinced them that they needed something that they never needed at all. And what they got in the end wasn't what the devil promised. It was judgment and pain and death. But Jesus stood firm. He had everything already from eternity, but then intentionally set it all aside and humbled himself so that he might lose everything, even his own life, to atone for our sins and to earn eternal life for us sinners. "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve.'" If Adam and Eve aren't real, if Jesus is not really descended from Adam and Eve, according to the flesh, if Jesus didn't really face a spiritual enemy called the devil and his temptations there in the wilderness, as his word says, and defeat them with the word of God, as you heard, if he didn't then die on the cross and truly rise bodily from the dead on the third day, then God is the liar. Then the Bible is a very worthless book. Then there is no God who loves you. Then you have no Savior. Then you're still in your sins. Then your death will be permanent. But who is really the liar? It's the devil. Jesus says, "He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." Jesus stood against the liar in today's gospel and still stands against him. He sends you his Spirit, whom he calls the Spirit of truth, who proclaims to you this word of truth. The temptation of Jesus was real, as was his descent from Adam and Eve, as was his suffering, death, and resurrection. Jesus, the Son of Adam, was tempted for your good. And his victory over sin, death, and the devil is a victory that he freely shares with all who are baptized into his name and trust in his name. So trust in him. As Paul said to the Corinthians, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." And follow him too. When the devil tempts you, and he will, then be imitators of Jesus, the Son of Adam, your brother. Know the Word of God. Trust in the Word of God. Use the Word of God and be prepared to surrender all things and to suffer all things rather than to depart even a hair's breadth from the Word of God. At the moment of the temptation, God may seem very far away. But he isn't. He's very close. And he's given you this word of promise in his holy word. "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. For Jesus' sake, amen." And please stand. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.